Zacharias doubted. Zacharias had expressed doubt of the angel's words. He was not to speak again until they were fulfilled. "Behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." RSP. It was the duty of the priest in this service to pray for pardon of sins and for the coming of the Messiah, but when Zacharias attempted to do this, he could not utter a word. As he came forth from the holy place, his face was shining with the glory of God, and the people perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Zacharias remained dumb but through signs, RSV, communicated to them what he had seen and heard. Soon after the birth of the promised child, the father's tongue was loosed. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" RSP. All this called attention to the Messiah's coming. The Holy Spirit rested upon Zacharias, and he prophesied of the mission of his son. "Thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins." And the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. God had called the son of Zacharias to the greatest work ever committed to men. And the Spirit of God would be with him if he heeded the instruction of the angel. John was to bring to men the light of God. He must impress them with their need of his righteousness. Such a messenger must be holy, a temple for the indwelling Spirit of God. He must have a sound physical constitution, and mental and spiritual strength. Therefore it would be necessary for him to control the appetites and passions. In the time of John the Baptist, greed for riches and the love of luxury and display had become widespread. Sensuous pleasures, feasting and drinking, were causing physical degeneracy, benumbing spiritual perceptions, and lessening the sensibility to sin. John was to stand as a reformer. By his abstemious life and plain dress he was to rebuke the excesses of his time. Hence the lesson of temperance given to his parents by an angel from the throne of heaven. In childhood and youth the power of self-control should be acquired. Habits established in early years decide whether a man will be victorious or vanquished in the battle of life. Youth, the sowing time, determines the character of the harvest, for this life and for the life to come. In preparing the way for Christ's first advent, John was a representative of those who prepare a people for our Lord's second coming. The world is given to self-indulgence. Errors and fables abound. All who would perfect holiness in the fear of God must learn temperance and self-control. See. The appetites and passions must be held in subjection to the higher powers of the mind. This self-discipline is essential to that mental strength and spiritual insight which enable us to understand and practice the truths of God's Word.